That's your fault. It is my privilege to introduce to you again my dear friend and my hero, Dr. Jim Jorgensen. What a good man. Thank God for a man like Brother Jorgensen. Accomplished, professional, an intelligent man. And I mean by all sense of the word intelligent and academia, he has it. But a common man. A man that loves bus kids, reaching people, still believes in soul winning. Doc, I was listening to you preach this morning, and I went back 33 years in my brain, back to college. And he'd get up in chapel and preach and talk about somebody on his bus ride that got saved, or this man that he won that was a bus kid's dad, or I thought, 33 years later, he's still doing it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God for all the decades that he's invested. I thank God for the investment in my life. And honestly, he and Mrs. Jorgensen are one of the reasons my wife and I are married. Had they not been there and had the college, we wouldn't have never met. And I didn't get demerits because I knocked her down in the hallway when coming out of the bucket and bow closet. But, you know, he's a very unique balance. We were joking around at dinner last night, and I said, do you remember the one time I thought I was going to get in trouble at college? And I explained to him, he said, no, not at all. And I thought, whew. But seriously, Brother Jorgensen doesn't remember all those bad things. It's not because of his age either. It's just, I know I'm going to get it, so I might as well get one in while I can. But what a very unique man, very balanced, and I thank God for him. He's my friend, he's my hero, and a man that you'll just never realize this side of heaven how much you are around greatness. I said this morning, well over 10,000 people that he has helped train to be in the ministry full time. Just think of how impactful that is. Just in my ministry since I've left college, my own personal preaching, soul winning, not all the churches that I've been in, I've seen over 25,000 people get saved. If you multiply that by 10,000, that's 2.5 million people or more. And just know, this side of heaven, nobody will understand the impact he has made. Brother Jorgensen, come preach to us, please.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. And looks like everybody decided to sit over here. I don't know what was wrong with this side. I sat there. Anyhow, it's a blessing to be here again tonight. I appreciate Brother Bush and the invitation and the opportunity to get up and be here. Thank you for the accommodations and the meals and the fellowship and everything involved. Appreciate your kind words, and don't know necessarily how accurate all of it is, but anyhow, I appreciate it, and it's good to be here, and I'll say hello to Mindy when we get back, get back about 3:00 Monday afternoon, I think, and looking forward then to getting back into school. Let's see, why don't you turn your Bibles, I think I'll start with reading. I'm going to preach on prayer tonight. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Probably more teach than preach, but 203. see what happens. A little bit of both. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 7. Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd be with us tonight, lead and guide. Again, we pray my mind and help me to be clear and to be helpful. Help us to understand the Word of God, to follow its admonitions. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts, we pray tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And I want to preach on prayer. Years ago when I was getting into fundamentalism, somebody gave me a copy of Dr. John R. Rice's book titled Prayer, Asking and Receiving. I think best book far and away ever written on prayer, and book really changed my life. You think about praying, and I mean, all of us ought to do it, and we all do it some. I mean, if nothing else, you know, we sit down before the meal, say, God bless the food, give us a good day, you know, whatever. And we kind of pray before the meal, and I do that, whether I'm at home or in public or wherever. And Brother Bush did it when he took us out to eat, you know, prayed before the meal. And, you know, sometimes maybe you feel funny doing that, and some of you might think you're a Christian. Well, that's okay. That's what I am.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I'm a University of Kentucky basketball fan. I had that UK jacket on Saturday. And, you know, I see somebody sees that up here. They say, oh, he must be from Kentucky. And or he must be a Kentucky fan. And at least in basketball, we're proud of that. And even proud of it in football this year, pretty much. But, you know, you'd be identified different ways.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I am a Christian. I don't mind being identified as a Christian.
Yes.
And as far as that goes, keeps you out of a lot of trouble.
Yes.
And, you know, you don't get a lot of offers and crazy ideas and stuff like that. And that, none of that's a sermon. But, you know, I like looking like a Christian. I want people to think, well, he must be a Christian. I go out. I've been visiting on bus routes now for or different bus routes and other, you know, soul-winning visitation, probably a little better than 50 years. And, you know, I get out there. I wear a shirt and tie on Saturday when I go out bus calling.
Yes.
And, you know, go knocking on doors. I've had some people come up and think that I must be a lawyer. And, you know, what are you doing out here? Are you out here on a case? I've had people come up to me and think, oh, you must be a preacher. And I've had some people come up and think, you must be a detective. And those are the three things that I, you know, people have guessed I was when I was out visiting, my shirt and tie on Saturday. And, but I, you know, all that's good. I mean, you know, I don't get offered bad stuff, whether I'm an attorney or a detective or a preacher. They don't offer me bad stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's good.
Yes, sir.
Keeps me out of trouble.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, I want to have a good, clean testimony. I don't mind looking like a Christian.
Amen.
I go to sporting events, so on. I mean, you know, I want to look like the team I'm pulling for.
Yes.
And don't want to look like the other team. And out in the world, and I don't know how I got off on that. But anyhow, you ought to pray before your meals. What is it to pray and really get into praying? And you hear a lot of different messages about it and different thoughts about it, and people have all kinds of different definitions. If you look up the word pray in Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says to ask with earnestness or zeal as for a favor or something desirable, to entreat, to supplicate, to petition, to ask for a favor, as in an application to be a legislative body. In worship, to supplicate, which is a big word for asking, to implore, to ask with reverence and humility, to petition, the plaintiff prays judgment of the court, to ask or entreat in ceremony or form. Basically, the word pray means to ask.
That's right.
I mean, it has a lot of different words in there, but if you go back to the first two, to ask. And again, you know, as you look at that definition, the word pray means to ask. You know, the attorney will say, I pray the court. In other words, I'm asking the judge to give me permission to do this or that, you know, introduce this evidence or do whatever I want to do. Even in the Bible, if you looked at 2 Chronicles 18:12, the messenger comes down to Micaiah, the prophet, and the messenger says, you know, I pray thee, don't say bad things. Everybody else has been saying good things. I pray thee, don't mess this up. What's the messenger saying? I ask you, please say good things. That, you know, in that context there in 2 Chronicles 18, doesn't have anything to do with talking to God. It's the messenger talking to the prophet of God,
right,
saying, please, you know, I'm asking you, don't mess this up. We've all heard good things. Don't preach, you know, don't preach something different than all these false prophets have. Just do what I'm asking you to do. The word pray means to ask. And, you know, when you and I pray, we ought to be asking for God. Some people prayer is not praise as such. I think you ought to praise God.
Amen.
Brother Fugit teaches that praise activates God's blessing in your life.
Yes.
And to some, I think that's a good statement. You know, as I praise God, God blesses me. And,
yes.
You know, I say good things to God, good things about God. God will bless that. And I'm in favor of praising God. But praising God is not the same as praying.
That's right.
And I think it's fine to talk to God and say, God, I praise you for a good family. I praise you for salvation. I'm thankful for your physical blessings on my life. I'm thank you for health and so on. But I still haven't prayed. I'm praising him. I'm thanking him. Prayer is not meditation or humiliation or confession, but asking.
Right.
Turn your Bible. Maybe, I guess, let's turn. We'll go through some of this. Maybe your Bible's still open to Matthew chapter 7 there. And we'll go through some scriptures here and then go back to the other. But Matthew chapter 7, I should mark these things, shouldn't I? I'm having a hard time finding scriptures today. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good things to your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him. God wants us to come to him and ask him for things. We're in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. Jesus says, all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. And praying and asking go right together there. And I don't have these over in Luke then, chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, parallel verse, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Go back to verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? If he ask a fish, and so on. Back up to verse 9. I'm going backwards order, aren't I? And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and so on, so on. Prayer is asking. You can go on to John chapter 14. And verses 13 and 14, I guess we're reading. We'll go ahead and keep reading there. Sometimes I just quote half of this. But John chapter 13, verse 13, ye call me Master and Lord. Let's see, that isn't what I wanted. John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. And God wants us to come to him to ask. John chapter 16 and verse 23 says, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. And you go over into James chapter 4 and verse 2, and I don't think I'm going to turn there, but the writer James says, ye have not because ye ask not. God wants us to come to him and ask for things.
Amen.
And when we come to God and we ask him for that, that's praying. Praying is asking.
Yes, sir.
And God wants us to come to him and ask him for something. And when we come to God and ask him for something, we ought to expect to receive it. We ought to get it. We ought to expect, I mean, again and again and again, we've been reading here, God wants us to get, you know, ask and ye shall receive, ask
yes.
and ye shall receive,
yes.
and knock and it shall be opened. And again and again, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, or ask in believing, or ask in my name, I will do it, the Father will do it. God's, you know, prayer in the mind of God is asking, and if prayer is asking, then the answer to prayer is receiving. And I ought to expect to receive from God what I ask him for. You know, my wife and I have three children, and while they are growing up and to this day, occasionally they will call us still. I mean, they're all older now, but they'll call us still and they'll ask for stuff. Sometimes they do it directly. Sometimes they kind of beat around the bush, and but they call and they ask for stuff. And you say, why would they call you and ask for something? Don't they know that they're older now? Yeah, but I'm their dad and mom. I'm just the dad. She's the mom. And
you know,
I'm the dad, and she's the mom. And you know, so they come to us, and they come to their earthly father, and they ask. And when they come with a need, and they ask, they expect to get it. Now, sometimes when they come to me and ask for things, I say, "Man, I can't get that for you. I don't have the resources to give it for, or to get it for you, or the power, or the wisdom, or whatever." I mean, there's things, even as your children growing up, and you're saying, "Man, I'd like to give them this, but I don't have the resources." We go to God. He's got all the resources.
Amen.
Sometimes, you know, you go to your parents, or, you know, kids come to us, and or kids growing up, when they're younger, they'll ask you for things, and you'll say, "Nah, I can't give you that. That wouldn't be good for you. You know, I mean, I want more candy and more candy. I don't want to have to eat the asparagus. I don't want to have to eat the broccoli. I just want to eat the candy." And, you know, and you say, "No, I can't grant that request. Wouldn't be good for you." And there are things that we do in there. But anyhow, when we pray to God, we ought to go to God and ask for things. A lot of people's prayers are like window shopping. You know, my wife and I get out, and once in a while, people's, you know, "What do you like do?" And sometimes we'll browse old-timey stores, and you know, or go out to a craft show. I was preaching up here last summer, and we stopped on the way home at the West Virginia State Arts and Craft Show or something like that. And I don't remember where it was, maybe near Beckley, but I don't know. Anyhow, we stopped at it, and it was called the State. It was shortly after 4th of July. And didn't really expect to buy anything. Just wandering around looking. What do you expect to get? Not much. And we didn't. Came home, we got a little thing that you put in the brown sugar that's supposed to keep it from getting hard or something like that. Wasn't that what we bought? Okay, and it's still in the bag that we bought it. And we bought one for each of our daughter and our two daughters-in-law for Christmas. Don't tell them. We'll give them some other stuff too. And a pound of brown sugar. That makes sense, wouldn't it? But I mean, you know, we didn't expect to get anything. We're wandering around and looking at all this stuff and 16 different kinds of honeys and jams and little, you know, wooden shelves or wooden, you know, and I mean, artwork and pictures, and some of it was kind of pretty, but none of it was stuff that we really thought we wanted in our house. And you know, we're just kind of window shopping. That's the way a lot of people pray.
Yes, sir.
You know, like kids or women go to the mall. Well, I'm just kind of out looking. You know, I mean, I don't know. I can go buy a pair of shoes or something. I walk in. I know I need a 7.5. I want black. I want, you know, I know what I want. And if they got what I want, I can be in and out in 10 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Somebody said, "What's the fun in that?" Didn't go to have fun. Went to get a pair of shoes.
Yes, sir.
Now, when you come to God, you ought to expect to get something.
Yes, sir.
You ought to expect to get your prayers answered. You ought to have a request and a desire and pray that God would, you know, prayer is asking, the answer to prayer is receiving. The only quote-unquote prayer that's condemned in the Bible at all is there in Luke 18, where the Pharisee went up and said, "Oh God, I thank you, I'm not," and he prayed, but never asked for anything. All he did was tell God how good he was, not God, but how good he was, and thank God for making him so good, I guess. And God said, you know, that guy didn't get anything out of it. Didn't help him at all. If prayer is asking, then the answer to prayer ought to be receiving. Matthew 7, 9, and 10 that we read earlier. 1 John 3:22, the same kind of thing. And I ought to expect to get what I want from God. Now, certainly, if I'm going to go to God and expect to get from God what I'm asking for, I need to be surrendered to God. I need to be on the same wavelength as Him. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
That's good.
You know, if I start looking at the world like God looks at it, my requests may change.
That's right.
I may not be wanting just, you know, God, give me the winning lottery ticket. And you shouldn't buy lottery tickets. I don't buy lottery tickets.
Amen.
But God, make me wealthy. Maybe we pray, God, make me a soul winner. If we're looking at the world like God's looking at it, our frame of reference might change.
Yes, sir.
But if we come, Psalm 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And to some extent, I think that verse means kind of like it sounds. You know, if you delight yourself in God, God will give you anything you want. But to some extent, I think it also means if I delight myself in God, God will put the right desires in my heart.
Yes, sir.
That's good. Amen.
He'll give me the desires in my heart. So my first request isn't going to be make me a millionaire. My first request may be make me a good husband. Help me be a good Christian. Help me witness to others. Help me have courage. And as God puts those desires in my heart, then when I go to God and ask him to fulfill those desires, God's going to want to say, sure, you can have this, you can have that. Matter of fact, far as that goes, since you're seeking this, let me make sure your bills are paid too. You're going to drive a car out to go to church and witness to people. I'm going to make sure you got a car that's going to get you there.
Amen.
And because you're not trying to just consume it upon your own desires, you're trying to use it for me and for others. Through the years, I've had a lot of staff. I started, I guess, first staff I had probably would have been about 19. First time I had anybody working for me, about 1974, 75, somewhere in there. And a lot of different staff through the years. And all of them good people. Some of them, through the years, they start talking. And they start saying, you know, Brother Jorgensen, I was wondering if I could... And, you know, as they start talking, I'm starting to think, sure. I don't know what rest of the question is going to be, but the answer is going to be yes. You have people work for you, Brother Evan. You got probably got people like that, that if you had some guys on the job or something and came to you and said, Evan, I was wondering if I could or if we could or something, your first thought would be, sure, that'd be fine. Because you know the people.
Right.
And you know their heart. And they want what you want. And they want to get the job done right, and their heart's all in it, and they've got the same goals and desires as you do, and they're not looking for how little can I do, and how much time can I have off, and how much money can I spend on this or that little project. You know, they've got the same heart as you do. They're trying to use the resources of the time and the finances there in the college to get done what you want done, which is, you know, what Brother Fugit wants done, what the God wants done. And so, I mean, I've got some people that, you know, through the years I've had where, you know, they start talking and say, Brother Jorgensen, would it be possible for me to? And I'm thinking, I don't know what the question is, but the answer is going to be yes.
Yeah.
I've had other people through the years and good people and love, and they start talking and they say, Brother Jorgensen, could I? And I'm thinking, I wonder what he wants this time. Or I wonder if this is the same thing he's asked me 3 times before and I've already told him no. If he's found a new way to ask it. You know, yeah? And they start talking, and you think, man, I don't know about this. And sometimes they'll come down, they'll get to the end, and you'll say, yeah, that's a good idea. We can approve that, or it fits, and so on. But you kind of got to weigh it a little bit. I want to have a heart that's in tune to God so that when I start coming to God and saying, God, would it be possible for me to... Or could I please have God to say, sure, Jim, I know you want what I want. Your goals are the same as my goals. And if this will help you to do it or make you happy while you do it, good.
Amen. That's good.
You know, you want to leave work a little bit early today? Well, I mean, you were here 2 hours extra last night. You got in 30 minutes work early today. You want to leave 15 minutes early? Sure. I don't care. You know, well, because I've got to and I'm sorry I had to. I don't care. Just go. Doesn't matter. I mean.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and so when I go to God, I want to try and have a heart that matches God's heart, where the prayer requests and the things that I'm coming to him for are in line with what he wants anyhow. You say, well, Brother Jorgensen, what if you want something God doesn't want? Well, probably isn't good for me. It's probably like when I was a kid and I wanted the candy instead of the broccoli. And, you know, it just, and you know, a little bit of candy isn't going to hurt anybody. You know, I'm not, but anyhow. But I got to have a balance there. And at some point, it becomes not good for you.
Right.
And anyhow, if I'm going to, when I come to God in prayer, I ought to ask him for things I ought to expect. If I ask God for something, I ought to expect him to give it.
Amen.
And it's not a simple prayer that you go to God one time and say, God, you know, please give me a new car, or please make me well. I've had this illness for a long time. God, please make me well. You know, whatever. You know, it's got to be a continual, persistent asking.
Yes.
And when you look at the language there in Matthew 7, other passages, the idea is not simply ask one time, but it's ask and ask and ask and ask, knock and knock and knock and knock, seek and seek and seek and seek. You keep on asking till light breaks through. Just keep on asking.
Yeah.
He'll answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on asking till light breaks through. You got to just keep going to God.
Yes, sir.
And asking and asking and asking and asking. I prayed a long time for my dad to get saved. And 4 months to the day before his funeral, Brother Hiles went out to his house. He moved up near, kind of near Hammond to be near my wife and me. Probably be near me more than you, but mother liked you better probably. But but anyhow, he moved there to be near us and our kids. Probably moved to be near the grandkids most of all.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
But anyhow, he moved there and Brother Hiles went out to his house 4 months of the day before his funeral and personally led him to Christ.
Yeah.
I'd prayed for him for decades. My mother for a lot longer. Prayed for him to get saved. And God answered that prayer. I've been praying for decades for my brother to get saved. Prayed for it a good bit today. And, you know, I want my brother to get saved. And I've got to keep asking and asking and asking and stay faithful. I want to stay surrendered to the will of God. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. And we may have read that. Now we didn't read that earlier. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you, I mean, you get what you want, you get what you ask for, but then I've got to be abiding in him, letting his word abide in me, guiding my requests.
Yes, sir.
You know, many of our requests are earthly, and there's not bad about asking for that. I mean, you know, it's not that you never should, but I think, you know, we'd probably get more answers if we ask spiritual stuff. A lot of our requests are for things that'll make life comfortable for us. God, make it nice. You know, let me have this. Let me have that. I'm in all of our churches, and I haven't been to a prayer meeting of yours, and I don't know what you'll pray for Saturday. And there's nothing. The Bible says you ought to ask for whatever you want. But, you know, think of my dad. You know, I was praying and praying and praying. He'd get saved. He got real sick. He'd smoke 2.5 packs of cigarettes a day for 40 years or so. Had what they used to call emphysema. Now they call it COPD and that horrible hacking cough and everything. And coughed enough that he cracked a couple of ribs, but that didn't stop him from coughing. And so obviously he was just in a lot of pain. And I was praying, God, you know, Bible says ask for whatever you want. I'd like for you to heal him, make him well. But I want you to save him. And I almost, as I prayed, I felt like God was saying, Jim, which of those do you want me to do? Sending him the illness so he'll be ready to get saved. And I said, well, I know which of the two I want answered. I want him saved. And he got saved.
Praise
And I don't think it's wrong to say, I'd like for him to be well and miss him a lot, but I'm glad he got saved.
Amen.
And, you know, it just, 100 years from tonight when we're all in heaven, I guess, you know, everybody here would give testimony, I'm saved, on my way to heaven. 100 years from tonight when we're all in heaven, it won't matter much whether we went at age 20 or 40 or 80 or 100. What'll matter is that we went to heaven, and what did we do for God while we're here?
Amen. Yes, sir.
And, you know, I mean, everybody I know wants to live a long life. We want all our relatives to live a long life. But the key to the whole thing is, you know, trying to live with eternity's values in view. I'll try and place my request with that in mind and plead that God, I've had a couple of friends and one I talked to recently, and he said, you know, gotten word he'd gotten cancer, and basically had the attitude that, well, God, if you choose me to heal me, I'm going to glorify you while I'm here. If you choose to leave me sick and have me go through a lot of chemo and make me sick for a long time, I'll do my best to glorify you that way. If you want to take me to heaven, I'm ready to go. That really doesn't matter to me a whole lot, but I want to glorify you while I'm here. And again, 100 years, 1,000 years from tonight, when we've all been in heaven for a long, long time, but long to us, not long in light of eternity. 1,000 years will be like that. It ain't going to matter how soon we go. What's going to matter is that we got to heaven. And what do we do for God while we're here? But anyhow, I need to understand God's word. I need to read it and study it. You ought to pray as you pray that God would guide your requests. Pray with the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 and 27. And pray, you know, the Bible says there that we don't know what we ought to ask for like we should, but God will lead and guide your requests. And give me wisdom. Help me know what to pray for here. And, you know, go to God and pray. Pray persistently. Talked about that. You ought to pray for power. Luke, we read several verses where it said, Luke 11, 13, especially, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? That's talking about praying for the power of God to be a witness and to be able to not just teach a Sunday school class, but have lives changed while I'm teaching. Not just run a bus, but pick up new kids and keep the old ones coming. Not just bring a message, but have something they said that's going to impact lives. Not just witness, but see people bow their head and pray and trust Christ. Christ as Savior. I ought to pray for the power of God on your life, on my life. You ought to pray for that for your life. You ought to pray for your physical needs. The Lord's Prayer included some of my physical needs. Give me this day give us this day our daily bread, and so on. And that wasn't the whole prayer, but nothing wrong with praying for your needs to be met. God wants to meet your needs.
Yes,
if you're going to pray and get answers to prayer, you ought to pray specifically enough to know you got an answer. I think one of the reasons most people don't pray more is if you said, well, have you had any answers to prayer recently? They said, no. Mm-hmm. If you ask them, what are they praying? Well, God bless the church, bless the pastor, bless my family, bless me. Thank you for all your goodness. Bless the missionaries. Help them do good work. You wouldn't know if God answered that or not. You know, in some ways that's better not praying at all. But you ought to pray, you ought to have some kind of a prayer list that you go through where you pray specifically enough that you could say, God answered that prayer.
Amen.
I've been, for years now, several years, I've been keeping my prayer list on my phone. There in the notes. Have it with me a lot, and I, you know, all the time pretty much, and I can look at it and read it and so on. And long time, I've used different ways to do prayer lists. But you ought to have a prayer list. You ought to have things on your list that you're praying for specifically where when God answers it, and one of the joys that I, one of the things I enjoy doing is highlighting that and then touching it and hit cut at the top and moving down to the bottom under answers and put paste where I can say, yep, God, you answered that one.
Amen.
And it's some encouragement to me to go back and look through that list from time to time and say, God answered this prayer and this prayer and this prayer. And some of those you say, well, Brother Jorgensen, you weren't the only one praying for that. A lot of people were praying for that. Okay. But I was one.
Amen.
In some cases, I was one of pretty few that were praying that way. Sometimes it's things not a whole lot of people know about that we pray for as much as anything else. And God will answer your prayer. And you look at that and say, well, Brother Jorgensen, I understand that God would answer your prayer because you're a prayer. No, God will answer your prayer.
Amen.
One of the most exciting, well, it doesn't matter. You're a teenager, you're a child, you're middle-aged, you're old, as I've heard how old I am this weekend. And, you know, whatever. But God will answer your prayer. You know, I've prayed, had my dad saved. I'm still praying for my brother to get saved. I've had prayers answered for finances again and again back through the years. And, you know, unemployed for, you know, and so on. Prayed a week or two ago, God, lead me to somebody that's right. Lead me to the right house. Give me power to see somebody saved. And Saturday before last, we had somebody saved out there. God led us. I feel sure to that. Wisdom and decisions, finances for the ministry. Had different health issues from time to time that we've prayed for, as my wife and I. At one point, she'd had several different tests run, looked like she had multiple sclerosis. And several, I think two, three, four different doctors had said, and this was several years ago, probably 20 years ago or so, said, looks like she has MS. And finally got down to the up or down test, and it turned out, no, it came back negative. She didn't. And doctor said, I don't know what happened to you those days or times. I don't know. We could run a lot more tests, probably not find anything, or we could figure it took 50 years for it to happen the first time, may take another 50 for it to happen again, and or 55 or whatever. And we thought, well, that'd be okay. I remember Brother Hiles saying, my wife and I really were praying for your wife through that.
Yes,
I think God answered prayer.
Yes,
maybe, and healed. Maybe she never had it. I don't know. I think it's certainly possible she had it and God just healed her.
That's right.
And they say, well, that'd be amazing. Why pray if you don't expect God to answer?
Amen.
Or if he does answer, not give him any credit.
Sure.
I don't know, just different things and dark days and answers to prayer and assurance from God, it's going to be okay. Different times and things in our lives. And I hate going way back and old. But you ought to have a prayer list for you, where you're looking. And again, I do it my iPhone. I got a section, you know, notes there, and there's different answers down there, down here at house to sell and things like that. Grandson surgery and a college girl that needed a car, and we were without power and there for at the college for a couple of days, and I prayed that it'd come back on by the end of the next day, and it did, and on God answers prayer.
Amen.
And you ought to pray, and when you pray, you ought to expect to get answers, and you ought to have something specific enough that you're praying for that you'd know if you got the answer. And it shouldn't, I don't think our prayer, and I don't, I've prayed sometimes for fun stuff for me. And I think God's answered that, but it hadn't been the major part of my list. God, just be kind of nice if I could have this too. And just like if your kids came to you and said, I don't really need this, Dad, but it'd be kind of nice if I could have, sometimes you just like giving to them. And God does that too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not wrong to have those requests in there, but that shouldn't be the main part of your list. The main part of your list ought to center around the spiritual side of everything.
Yes, sir.
And praying for lives and family and things along that line. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. I want to challenge you tonight. Do you even have a prayer list? Do you have a list of things that you're asking God for that are specific enough that if God answered, you'd know it? Some people ought to make a decision tonight and say, God, I'm going to make a prayer list. I'm going to put down some things that I'm going to come to you about and ask you. And if you get started on that, you won't have any trouble making a list longer. your needs, others' needs. Some of you ought to decide, I'm going to have a prayer list. Some of you ought to decide, I'm going to be more faithful in praying. Satan tries to distract us in all kinds of not bad ways usually, but just being busy to keep us from praying. God will answer your prayer. If God's spoken to your heart some way along the matter of prayer tonight, I'd like to pray for you. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray for you somewhere along the matter of prayer. Most every hand in the room is up. Mine is too. Heavenly Father, help us to be people of prayer, people that would go to you and with a heart wanting what you want in our lives, a desire to serve you. Help us to have a heart that be in tune with yours so that when we come and say, Heavenly Father, could I, you'd be ready to say yes. And then help us to be people of prayer and not be without because we don't even ask. Help us, we pray,